following podcast has been brought to you by Banter Club. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, children of all ages, Ramble Mini Show proudly brings to you, it is I'm not going to slap you in the face, but I'm the Angel of Death 6XL, joining me as always.
Maybe I'll slap you in the face, I don't know. It is I, your other half of the longest reigning Ramble Mania Tag Team Champions, TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Of course, we are the Banter Club. We are here to discuss AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network.
On the Hoes. I thought we were the Men in Black.
Maybe we are, and you forgot that. Maybe we are, and then we made you forget that. But as always, we talk that AEW Dynamite. Before we do so,
I thought you were going to say we talk that shit.
We do talk that shit alongside talking that AEW Dynamite. It's simultaneous. Yeah. But before we get to all that, let's talk about some news items. And given that it's WrestleMania week, you know, there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that going on here and there and everywhere. But let's start right here in AEW. Our boy Marco Stunt is officially on his way out the door.
Yes.
He talked about how they finally called him. Christopher Daniels, the head of talent relations, which I find funny that Christopher Daniels is the head of talent relations.
Lord. But
he finally gave Marco a call, said that they weren't going to renew his contract. And they apparently cited the large roster, which, yes, AEW has garnered a very big roster, and budget cuts as a reason for it. Now, Jesus Christ, I got to turn my shit down.
What, you got GCW on...
Yeah. I feel bad because, like, him, like, it was the original squad was fucking Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt. That was the Jurassic Express. That was the gang. And I don't mind Christian with them. I like it. But I loved Marco with them. I thought it always worked out. I thought it made sense. I thought they had good chemistry and camaraderie. And it's not like they didn't know how to book Marco Stunt because they got it. I feel like the couple times where they had Marco in a prominent position, they got it with him. It's just, you know, he's really small, so you can get a lot of heat off that, but he's really fiery, so you can also get a lot of babyface work off that. So I don't know. I guess, you know, again, when the roster blows up and there's more top level names available, I guess you got to start looking at the bottom and start, well, if I'm going to bring in this guy, I guess I can't really keep these guys on full-time contracts. So it's whatever. I mean, again, like we've always talked about, Marco is and always was allowed to work indies. So it's not too big a deal with that. He's still getting paid. He's still going to be able to get paid. So we'll see Marco around on the indies here and there.
I feel like he's not. I feel like they're letting him go because they have to. But I feel like he'll probably pop up here and there. Like, they'll probably use him from time to time and be like, hey, you want a quick little paycheck? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, the door is not closed. Like, because Marco even said, like, it was a good conversation. There's no animosity or nothing. It's just, you know, they're moving in a different direction. And there's, again, like, there's guys like Peter Avalon who aren't full-time guys anymore, but they still bring them in here and there when they want to do stuff with them. So. There's always that possibility.
He's a casualty of the fucking company just becoming way too bloated, too quick.
He's a casualty of growth. And it's a similar thing if, like, you compare it to a basketball team or any type of real sports team where when they turn from just a low-level, mid-level team to a championship contender. We become a championship contender, you get a little tighter with the roster. And there's certain guys that, well... We could have you around before where we were in a different position and we were trying to accomplish different things, but now we're going up and we need more up top and less at the bottom. So, WWE is apparently going to be turning another one of their pay-per-views into a propaganda show.
Mm-hmm.
Because in September, they will be taking tables, ladders, and chairs over to Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So that's another pay-per-view that no longer exists. That's crazy. WWE dropping pay-per-views left and right. That's kind of wild.
Yeah, I'm not watching any of that stuff. Next.
And the rating for AEW Dynamite.
Yes.
Dynamite. 977,000. A little bit down from last week, about 6%. And a 3.8 in the key demo, which is third on cable, which is the same as last week. The number is lower, but the ranking is the same. Behind two NBA games. So, I mean, steady number. They introduced a person on this episode. They set up some stuff on this episode. So we'll see how it flows into the coming weeks.
All right. With that being said, I usually would use the Triple H voice, but this week I have a different shirt on and I want to be able to go ahead and.
We're talking about AEW.
Yes, we're going to. I would like to know if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
No! I'm sorry. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Then it's time to light the fuse.
And bring the boom?
No, bring the bang bang!
That makes sense. That makes more sense.
Because it's dynamite! With that being said, let's get ready to banter.
AEW Dynamite from Columbia, South Carolina, and we open South Kakalaki, and we open with CM Punk versus Max Caster. One thing I noticed immediately and throughout this whole show, this crowd is hot. And it's so interesting to me because this is another like southern state, you know, South Carolina. And, you know, watching WWE go through these states for years throughout like the 2000s and the early 2010s as like the only major promotion in town. You would watch those shows. And I remember it. I remember being online and people would complain. These crowds are always so fucking dead. Like we got to just wait till they go to like New York or Philly or Chicago. Like it got to a point where like the only good WWE crowds that people thought about were like the ones I just named. New York, Philly, Chicago, Detroit, shit like that. And the southern states just got like cast into this box of, you know, they're always dead. They don't care about anything except maybe John Cena. But then you finally get another hot major wrestling promotion that hits all these same spots. And all of a sudden, they're wrestling hotbeds again. Like, they've got all this great wrestling history. The crowds are going crazy. And you would always hear about that stuff. Like, you'd always hear from like, old school guys. Like, the Carolinas were such a great town to run. Or places like Virginia or Georgia. Like, the crowds were always so hot down there. And you would never really see that in our time. In the 2000s and things like that. But now we do. So it really does seem like a lot of those fans in those places, they dipped until they had a reason to come back.
Yep.
And now they got a reason.
I was going to say, I remember the South being hot during maybe the Attitude Era for a bit. And then it was really hot for WCW. Every time we watched WCW, it was fucking fire.
Yeah.
But that's because they were the Southern Territory Company. That was their local guy. So, of course, in New York, we're going to make noise for WWE. That's our guy. You know what I'm saying? Of course, in Philly, they're going to make noise. You feel me? Even though ECW is our guy. But, you know, of course, they're going to, because they're East Coast. You know what I'm saying? This is what we grow up watching. This is these other people that, you know, all those older people at the time, because we were little kids.
Yeah.
That's that, you know, their guys were WWE up there. And the people down there, their guys were WCW. And now that, you know, they don't have WCW back, but they got another promotion that's based more or less in the South. They're going to fucking go nuts. That's their fucking homeboy.
Yeah. It's I think, you know, it's just, it's good.
And it's a different product. It's wrestling.
Yeah. It's good that these people had a reason to come back to it. Because I guess they weren't feeling what they were getting before, but now they do.
Yeah. Now, you know what it was? It was Red Dragon.
they showed up and everybody got a reason. I'll give you a reason. So yeah, Max Caster comes out. He did the Will Smith line immediately. Like, he ain't even fucking...
Yep.
Which I respect that, because everyone was expecting him to do it, and he just went out. That was his first line. He ain't built to it. He ain't nothing, which I like. Just do it. Get it out of the way. And he got it out of the way.
Yep.
So, and then he ends it with that saying, he'll make Punk crap his pants like a Z-Pack, which that got a chuckle out of me. Because goddamn
Z-Packs. Old man Punk.
The fucking Z-Packs.
Yep.
CM Punk is Bret Hart because that as usual. But in this match, Max has his shoulder taped and Punk hones in on it. Like, I'ma just work your fucking shoulder this whole match. This a target. To give credit to Max's size, Punk goes for a crossbody and Max like catches him pretty fucking easily in midair and just lifts him. And it made me realize, oh yeah, Max Caster's a big dude. Like,
yeah, he is.
It's known, like, he's a big dude, but like, CM Punk is bigger than you think.
He's six feet, six one, I think.
He's a legit 6'1", probably around like 200 or whatever pounds. And like, you know, being in the land of the giants, he was cast as a short whatever guy for so long. But CM Punk is like relatively tall and big. He's not that small. Right. And Max
he's like three or four inches taller than me.
Yeah, and Max just caught him and was just like, come here, going for the ride. I was like, oh shit. Punk whiffs on the Shining Wizard. Max takes the heat. Hits him with a Fisherman's Buster for a two count. And then he goes for the mic drop. But Punk meets him up top. Hits him with a Rana off the top rope. And then he follows with the running knee. Hits the Bulldog. That gets a near fall. And then he goes for a springboard. But Bowens cuts him off. And then Max hits a flying drop kick from the top. He goes for the mic drop. But Punk counters. Hits a pile driver. And then locks in the Anaconda Vice for the win. I like at the end, because Max was working his lower back over. Punk struggled with the pile driver, but he was selling. Like, you could see him selling at the end. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, my back. And Max worked on his back. So he really is fucking Bret Hartin' out here.
I like that shit.
Yeah. So Anaconda Vice gets the win. Tony hits the ring post-match for the interview.
And this is funny, because there's something that happened here that I found hilarious. CM Punk is doing this Indian style sit in the center of the ring. And Tony just kind of walks up behind him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, fuck, all right.
Yeah, because Tony walks up on Punk, and then Punk looks up like, oh, shit, what? We got to do it now? Okay, let's do it now. I thought I had a little more time.
Yeah, they're like, nah, nigga, we doing it now. He's like, all right, shit.
So, yeah, Punk gets up. Tony's like, hey, what was that belt thing you did last week? And Punk's like, Tony, you're smarter than that. And he asks the people, what does this mean? And they start chanting CM Punk. That's not what that means. What's this mean? CM Punk. CM Punk.
What are they going to say? AEW. They can't chant. Fucking
title match. AEW, chant title match. Title match. Or you could chant for Hangman. Come on. What are you doing?
Adam Page. But, you know, CM Punk alludes to that. He said, I don't know if it's going to be Adam Page or Adam Cole.
He's like, I don't know if the champ will be Adam Cole, Bebe, or if I'm staring into the barrel of some cowboy shit. But I do know that there's a lot of gray in my beard, and there's going to be a lot more by the time I'm done in AEW. I got some scars on my face. By the time I'm done in AEW, there's going to be a lot more. But I promise, by the time my time here is over, I will be AEW World Champion. He walks off. So, yeah, Punk called the shot. He wants that world title.
I got goosebumps.
It's time.
You know he's going to run wild.
And I think it's so cool that they've built to it. Like, CM Punk has gotten himself... You know, he worked off the ring rust. He got back in the game. He's worked his way up. He had a couple big feuds.
He beat the Pillars.
Yeah, and now that he's locked in again, it's time. He knows who he is. He knows what he needs to do, and it's time. So, yeah, CM Punk is going for that world title.
He's beating the Pillars. He's got nothing else to do. He's just having matches right now. It's time.
We got Marvez with MJF and FTR, the Pinnacle. We see Smart Mark in the background. He's putting up pictures of Wardlow, like, keep this man out. And, you know, MJF is like, you know, Smart Mark's my lawyer. Don't worry about him. He's just putting up some signs to keep Wardlow out of here. We don't say that name, by the way. Wardlow, we don't say his name anymore.
Yeah, I like how he's like, "Why? I know who he is. What the fuck is he doing?"
Yeah, Marvez is like, "I know who Smart Mark is. Why is he here?" So MJF is like, "Listen, we're done with Wardlow. We're focused on us, the Pinnacle. And it's time for us to get some wins starting tonight. FTR is going to beat those, what's their name?" And then Cash is like, "Billy's sons." Yeah. He's like, "You got to beat those guys."
I like when he mentions Wardlow, right? Fucking FTR gives him the conceited face.
Oh, they're not, the whole time they're not happy about this.
But yeah, they give him the conceited face, I don't know about that.
they're not happy about this the whole time.
Yeah.
So MJF is like, yeah, they're going to get some wins tonight. Sean Spears is going to get a win against Sean Dean next week. And then, you know, that's that son of a bitch Wardlow is out. That's done. And then Dax is like, "Hey, listen, I don't know what's going on with you and Wardlow, but listen, you're my friend, Max, and Wardlow is also my friend. So whatever's going on with y'all, we don't want no parts of that because that's our boy, too." And then MJF is like, hey, listen, guys, you guys aren't just my friends. You're my goddamn family, all right?"
Damn, yo, and this man, Vin Diesel, has been making a lot of appearances on the show.
No, Max is a fucking serial gaslighter. That shit amazing.
Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel out here like, "Family."
Yeah, he's like, "You guys are my family. And I don't want to tell you this, but, you know, Wardlow, he would talk shit about you guys all the time."
All the time.
All the time.
It's the way he said it. Like, no, he talks shit about you all the time.
He talks shit about you all the time.
That's that shit where that one toxic friend keeps saying.
Yeah.
Every time y'all have a new friend around, and then you're like, "Yo, why our friends don't last?" It's that toxic motherfucker you be chilling with.
You can tell FTR doesn't believe that because they're both just like, but MJF is like, "Come on, let's put it in. We're the Pinnacle. You're always on top." So they reluctantly put their hands in. But I thought this was really good. Like, babyface FTR is something I had no clue that I'd ever be down for. But I am. I am very down for this shit. Especially you got MJF being a manipulative dick. Mm-hmm. Like,
we gonna talk more about it during their match because they started to turn. And I was like, "Oh."
Yeah. But like, you see, we talked about the Vin Diesel shit. But like, yeah, these dudes always talking about, "We about family. It's about family. The family." And here come MJF. "Hey, you guys are my family, all right? Calm down." Manipulative shit. And now, we got Jay Lethal versus John Moxley. Shout out to BTE 300, which might have been my favorite BTE in a long time. That shit was great. But remember last week when I was talking about, I want to see a Macho Man off between Jay Lethal and Nick Jackson?
Yes.
They fucking did it on BTE.
On BTE? Oh, y'all should have done this shit on TV.
Unfortunately, I can't believe it.
Yeah. Here's the thing that bugs me. I don't really get to watch BTE much because work. But if I could, man, I'd watch it all the time because they be doing shit on there where I'm like, "Damn, yo, I wish I saw that."
They also reunited SCU. They did a bunch of cool stuff on that.
SCU. Damn. Yeah. I miss those guys.
The SCU reunion was cool because, like, it starts off, it was like three different segments. Like, it starts off with the fucking Bucks, I think, and then Daniels comes in because Daniels has been doing this gimmick where he's the Undertaker, but he doesn't pop up and attack people. He just pops up and tell them shit about HR.
How's his eye?
It's still fucked up. That's why he's the Undertaker. But he popped up on them. And then fucking Frankie Kazarian came out. It was like, "You guys talking about..." No, it wasn't the Bucks. It was Scorpio and Ethan.
Okay.
So CD pops up and he's talking to them and he's talking about HR shit. But then Kaz pops up and he's like, "Man, these guys and their fucking vlogs. I'm sick of vlogs and fucking Mark ass bullshit." And then the camera pans out and Scorpio's like, "Hey, wait a minute." And I popped because I realized the same time he realized, "Oh, wait a minute." Because the camera pans out and it's just the three of them. Ethan left. So, and then Scorpio's like, "This is the worst town I've ever been in." I'm like, yeah. BT 300 was really good. I had fun with it.
I got to get on that. Yeah. I'll probably watch it when I'm making graphics.
The Macho Man off made me very happy. Because even fucking Nick is like, come on, Matt, you really think he does Macho Man better than me? And Matt's like, yeah, he does it way better than you. Yeah.
Definitely. He does Flair better than you. He does he does everyone better than you.
Because Nick is like, you think you can do the Macho Man with me? And then Lethal just goes for it. He just goes right into it. It was good shit. This was also good shit, this match. Mm-hmm. Lethal starts off. He offers the code of honor to John Moxley. Shake my hand. Mm-hmm. And Mox is like, I never fucking worked there. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. And it's a fight now. So there's a dueling. Let's go Moxley. Let's go Lethal. Chant, mm-hmm. Which both guys seem surprised by it.
Yeah.
Like Lethal looks around like, oh shit, I'm over. And Mox is like, y'all fuck with him like that?
Yeah. I mean, does he not know who the fuck Jay Lethal is?
Yeah. So they get to it. Lethal is trying to wrestle Mox early. And yeah. Mox is like, man, fuck that shit. I just got myself in the Blackpool Combat Club. We mm-hmm. fighting. So Lethal's like, all right, we fighting it. Mox gets him down, though, sets him up for a superplex. But Lethal crashes him, sends him outside for a tope suicida. And we go to the pip. We come back from it. And both men, they double down off another exchange. Mox goes for the paradigm shift, but his leg gives out. Mm-hmm. And Lethal goes for the lethal injection. But Mox catches it and goes for the choke. But Lethal rolls through, gets a near fall off of it. Hits a sheer drop brain buster. And then goes long distance for the elbow drop. Like, Mox is fucking 3/4 of the way across the ring. And Lethal mm-hmm. still hit it. And then he goes for the figure four. He's been working on Mox's leg. But then Mox cradles him. Lethal kicks out, and Mox drops him with the paradigm shift for the 1, 2, and 3. Really fucking good match between yep. these two.
I would argue match of the night.
No. The main event happened. But I would also...
See, but the main event was a lot of like...
There's actually two matches I think were better than this.
Wow. What were those?
But this match would have been the best match on the show any other week. I will say that. Most other weeks, this is the best match on the show.
What other match did you like better?
Yuta and Danielson. So.
I don't know. I like this match better.
I like this match a lot, but those other two matches, which we'll talk about, were fucking crazy.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I think we're finally getting going with Jay Lethal. Oh yeah, Mox is here. I forgot. He's defending the title. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we're finally getting moving with Jay Lethal because they're booking him a little bit more on TV and he's getting over big time every time he wrestles. So I think we might be realizing it's time to make some moves with Jay Lethal.
Yeah. Make some moves, make some $1 million moves.
Indeed. He offers the handshake post-match mm-hmm. to Jay Lethal. Mox is like, all right, you earned my respect. We good now. And at first, Lethal is like, damn it, I lost. But he accepts it. They shake hands and they're good. And now we get a video package for the new BCW World Champion, Marina Shafir.
Damn right.
New Brie Combination Wrestling World Champion.
This is why I was hurt because I was like, damn, bro, we should have went.
yeah, she's here. She's undefeated in AEW. And, you know, shout out to her. Shout out BCW. That's yep. champ.
We love the shit out of BCW, man. Those were the guys who, like, got us into, to like, you know what I'm saying, this podcast situation, if you will. They got us popping. We met a lot of people because of BCW. So we got love for BCW.
Shout out BCW. FTR versus the Gun Club. And then MJF's music hits. That's not their
name. You know what their name
the
is.
The Ass Boys.
No. Billy's Sons.
MJF's music hits. He comes out to join commentary, and the commentators are all like, God fucking damn it. Here's MJF.
Yo, it's what they said at the end of later on that killed me. Like, you know.
JR fucking... Instantly, JR goes, so you're paying Wardlow to stay home, huh? Mm-hmm. And MJF goes, yeah, we talked about this last week, Jim. Get the wax out of your ears. And JR goes, I don't remember talking to you at all. I try to erase the negatives from my life as quick as possible. Which.
That's such a Tevin answer right there.
The commentator's hatred for MJF is unmatched. Yeah. They despise this man.
I'm a bit like Vince, where I like confrontation. So If I was on that panel, I would love every time MJF comes on. I'd be like, oh, y'all hate him? It's cool for me. I love shitting on somebody all day, bro.
Fuck this guy.
I'm a walking troll, bro. Just let me fucking shit on somebody. Just fucking murder him verbally.
Shitting on this man on commentary. And the Gun Club are in here playing annoying, goofy heels. So that means we get babyface FTR. We got Cash Wheeler in there doing Ricky Steamboat arm drags and firing up like a babyface. I'm like, yo, what is this? I like this shit.
Yep.
What's going on here?
Yep. And then people they were wrestling. Like, yeah. Billy Gunn getting in this, he's making this shit feel real heel. Like, those guys are great heels. Yeah. The Ass Boys come out here looking like two different types of Shawn Michaels clones.
Yeah.
With their little outfits. And then when they're out there, they're doing a whole bunch of heel shit. Billy Gunn gets in here and actually fucking clobbers. Who was it? Was it Dax?
Yeah. It was Dax. Mm-hmm. So he does that. MJF on commentary goes, these Gun Club kids are smart. You know, I'll give it to them. Not too good looking, but they're smart. Excalibur goes, they're older than you, Max. He's calling them kids. Excalibur's like, they're older than you, bro. What are you talking about? So yeah, Billy interferes. As boys get the heat. We come out of the break. Cash gets a suplex. They double down. But Austin makes it to Colton first, and he gets him in. And then they scramble around, and we head to the back where Wardlow has arrived. And he is destroying the indie wrestlers they paid to be security.
Mm-hmm. I like how the camera pan to him, and he's like, and we're like, why is he already so pissed? There's a gang of security guard coming right at him. He just murders them, just washes.
Kills them all. Yeah. And it's like, it's funny because like security guards are always indie wrestlers, but like for me, it was particularly funny here because I had watched fucking DPW like right after this, and I saw like three of these dudes on that show.
You saw the guy with the green hair there, right?
She was great. I think they were all even tweeting like, hey, yo, Wardlow killing the DPW roster out here. What's going on? So that was funny.
Yo, by the way, have I ever said how much I hate their theme song?
Who's?
Fucking Ass Boys.
Oh, the Ass Boys? Yeah, I like that shit. I like that theme song. Yeah.
It's such a douchebag ass.
It's such a douchey song. Like, what the fuck is this? Fuck these guys.
They should have been heels, my nigga. What the fuck?
Yeah. They are so much better as heels. It's great.
Austin Gunn, especially. Austin Gunn is a great heel.
Yeah.
I think if they ever split the two, Austin is definitely being the heel.
Yeah. Because he really knows how to fucking turn it on and be a little douchebag.
Colton has a lot of what I like, that babyface fire.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's going to be the one who spins off as the babyface. If they flip it, I'm going to be like, oh, let's see how they do it. But I feel like the natural progression would be like if they ever split the team, you know, Colton would probably be the one who goes face.
Yeah, that would make sense. But yeah, Wardlow gets to the front row. Security finally is able to overwhelm him and take him out. They drag him out of the building. MJF's like, get out of here, you pig. You're done.
Yeah.
And then we get back in the ring. Austin tries to take Dax down, but Dax Sunset flips him. But Billy hops up. He's holding Austin's hands. And Arby's like, hey, no, get out of here. Then Cash is like, fuck that shit. He leapfrogs them. And then they hit the big rig.
He leapfrogs right into their arms.
Yeah, and so breaks that
breaks
shit up.
That shit up, yeah.
Yeah. And then they hit the big rig. And FTR gets the victory.
Yep.
And MJF is happy. He hits the ring post-match to celebrate. But FTR is like, nah, what the fuck
by the way,
was all that shit?
During this, the commentary was hilarious. Because they were still talking about Wardlow. And they were like, God damn it, security of all days, not today.
Right? This is the one.
They literally said, nah, let that man kill this man. We want him out.
So damn, Tony was like, damn you, AEW security. Come on now.
Out of all days, bro. That's exactly how they said it. I think it was like, out of all days, bro.
It's like, usually I want y'all to get the job done, but.
FTR was out here too with their Scott Hall gear, which was awesome.
Yeah. That dope ass Scott Hall NWO gear.
And it was it was his WWE NWO gear, which is awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, they're in the ring with MJF. FTR's like, what the fuck was that shit with Wardlow? I told you, we ain't fucking with that. Mm-hmm. And again, they say, Wardlow is our friend too. I don't like this.
Yeah, and they were fighting, and the crowd, for the first time
loudly
ever,
loudly chanting FTR.
This is the first FTR chant I've ever heard in my entire life. This was like, oh!
And one of the things, these two are such good old school type dudes, because like when they start chanting, you see Dax look around like,
yeah.
And I always love that when like a dude, when like a crowd is on the verge of turning a heel babyface and they start chanting for them, the heel always looks around like, should I do it? Should I fucking turn on this motherfucker? Yeah. And I love when heels who are about to turn do that shit. And Dax did a great one. He was just like,
I call it the Rikishi look around.
Yeah.
Because whenever you put the glasses on, Kishi would go.
Yeah, he would look around like, oh shit, is it time? but yeah, good shit. MJF does calm them down and they leave together and the crowd boos. But like, yo, I am all in on babyface FTR. I want that shit. I didn't realize it, but I want that shit.
I like the story that everyone who's not affiliated with him financially is slowly starting to turn on him.
We got Powerhouse Hobbs. He's like, yo, listen up, Keith.
This was great.
Basking this, basking that. How about you basking kissing my ass?
My ass. This was great.
Yo, this Powerhouse Hobbs is talking that shit.
I love Powerhouse Hobbs, man. We've been saying this since day one.
He was like, yo, Rampage is my show. Rampage is Ricky Starks' show. You want to show up and talk that shit? I'm going to show you what's going on. I'll see you on Friday, Keith Lee. And then Keith Lee, ever calm, ever cool, ever collected. I admire your bravery, Powerhouse Hobbs. Mm-hmm. But you made a mistake. And you're going to bask in my glory. It's coming Friday. And it's on Rampage. Powerhouse Hobbs versus Keith Lee. We got the Jazz, the Jericho Jeff. Appreciation Society.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Garcia got on a goddamn Kangol. And
I'm sorry. Look, listen. I know I said I liked him better with like the street gear, but he went left this week. Instead of having the black tank with the khakis and the J's, and this man had a white tank. Like a straight up wife beater. He looked like when you get home from like a party, like one of those fancy parties, like a wedding or some kind of like baby shower or something like that. And you like take your shirt off and all that stuff and you're kind of hot and you know what I'm saying? You're about to, you know what I'm saying? That's what he looked like.
Man, that was his regular ass outfit. And then Jericho walked up to him and like, you gotta look like a sports entertainer. Here, wear this. And he put that fucking Kangol. It was 5 minutes before the segment. And Jericho was like, you need something else here. And he put the fucking Kangol on his head.
That Kangol did not make any sense, bro.
I was like, what the fuck is he wearing that? But I will say, Angelo Parker, I'm rocking with that suit. I like his suit. His suit looks fucking cool.
Yeah. They picked the wrong name. It's not Cool Head Ange. It's Dapper Ange.
Dapper Ange. I like Cool Head Ange.
Man, he's dapper.
I like the suit though. I'm digging the suit. Good suit.
Triple M was a little more Italian this week, and it had me rolling.
Fucking Jericho is like, nobody. You want to? I've heard all these lowly pro wrestlers want to join the JAS, but it's just us five. That's it. If you want in the JAS, GFY. I'm like, oh fuck, he's using that
trying to
shit
make
again.
That shit happen. Yeah. He's trying to make that shit happen so much. He's an influencer, remember?
GFY. It's going to get over just because I hate it. Watch. GFY. And then 2.0, they're like, all right, we're going to look behind these curtains again. And we're going to show you that those guys ain't coming back. So, you know, Matt Menard looks.
Yeah.
And Angelo Parker looks. And when he opens his up. Of course they're back. Fucking Jake Hager. He literally says right before this, you ain't never going to see those guys again. They're done. 2 seconds later, there they are.
You know what makes me laugh? Jake Hager almost skipped his promo part.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because when Matt is like, yo, go look at the other side, go look at the other side, go look at the other side. He literally about to go. And he's like, oh, wait, I got a line. You're never going to see them again. Yeah. And then he goes, damn it, Hager. Hager, you had one job.
Yeah, you just had to set that trope up. Yeah. But yeah, Eddie and Santana and Ortiz are back. They're brawling with the Jazz out to the arena.
You know what's funny though? I said that last week that this was gonna happen.
Yeah. I was almost surprised they didn't do it last week because they said it. They said it last week.
See, here's the thing, right? I know they did it to set it up, but they fucked it up. They should have just done it last week. It would have been better.
Nah, I get why they didn't do it last week. Because you gotta at least have them gone for a little bit of time.
Yeah. But then I wouldn't have fucking done that gimmick. Yeah. Because it would have been cooler if we never did that gimmick where they look through the thing and they're like, yeah, they'll never. And then they're looking through the shit. Man, and then Matt Bernard is like, yeah, there's nothing here. Look, there's nothing here. And then Hager goes and he's like, yeah, there's nothing.
Or at least do a different one. Like, I don't know. Last week they did the curtains. This week do doors or something. I don't know. Some different shit.
Yeah. I would have done something different just to make it different. Yeah. But it was, it's whatever.
But yeah, they're brawling out to the ring. Eddie gets Jericho in the ring, knocks him out with the back fist. And then Santana and Ortiz are going to hit him with the street sweeper. But Jake Hager and Angelo Parker make the save. And now the numbers catch up. And the Jazz, they stand tall. So, there you go. We continue with this feud. Like we all figured, Eddie and Santana and Ortiz are back. And it's going.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, y'all know how I feel about this. I don't care.
The Jazz.
For the Jazz. Like, I was hyped when these guys came back because Santana took a crazy bump when they went outside.
Yeah.
When they went to like the ring or whatever.
Yeah.
He fell off the side of the fucking, he fell off the top rope onto the apron and it looked disgusting.
Yeah. When they broke up the fucking street sweeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was over here like, bro, had that been me falling from there, I would have died like an old man. You would have just heard me go, my hip. Well, I don't know. I fell off a ladder the other day and I was fine. So.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But I digress.
We got Tony with Jade and Smart Mark Sterling. Smart Mark is like, we had two options for Jade's 30th opponent. And I have chosen who I think is the best option for you, the librarian, Leva Bates. And Leva walks in.
This is so sad.
And Jade is like, what the hell is this shit? Get the fuck. Who's the other person? And Smart Mark is like, well, the other person is Marina Shafir. And she trained in judo. She undefeated. I don't know if you want to. And Jade is like, I'm going to fight her. Give me Marina Shafir. Yeah. Get her out of here.
That's the thing. Smart Mark Sterling is looking for the easy way out.
Yeah.
And Jade is like, no, I want legit competition. Yeah, Leva Bates?
I will beat anybody's ass.
I like how, I think it was Smart Marco goes, she's the librarian.
Yeah, she's the librarian. And Jade's like, get the fuck. And then Jade is like, I gotta go deal with my baddie section. I got the baddie section out there. You deal with this, Mark. And Tony, cut the shit. Cut the shit, Tony.
No, cut it out.
Cut it out. Now, we got Bryan Danielson versus Wheeler Yuta. Excalibur plugs Supercard of Honor on Friday, where Wheeler Yuta will face Josh Woods for the Ring of Honor Pure Championship, which went in.
Damn, Josh Woods still out here doing this shit?
Yeah.
Good shit.
So, I mean, Yuta winning the Pure Championship could be what he needs to get him in this squad, because that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So then Regal's like, man with the mask, please do not mind me if I fawn over Bryan Danielson. And Excalibur's like, it's fine. He's one of the greatest of all time. And Regal goes, one of? I feel you, Regal. I feel you.
Hey, my favorite is CM Punk right now. So
if you ain't got Danielson to me, top five, I don't respect you. That's it.
He is in top five of modern day. But
period.
No.
Modern day, period. If Danielson ain't top five, I don't respect it. I don't respect your list.
I'm sorry. I guess you don't respect my list.
No. Is Danielson in it?
No.
I don't respect it.
My list consists of 99.9% 90s niggas.
It's all 90s niggas.
Damn right, son. Yeah.
Danielson.
I'm sorry. It is what it is, man. That's the era I grew up in. You know, I'm going to look at guys like Austin and Shawn and Taker and Taz and RVD.
Hey, I grew up in that era too.
Those are my guys. Damn, it's in his top five all time. I'm a nostalgia buff, man. I'm sorry. I think Bryan Danielson is great. I think he's amazing. But I still hold CM Punk higher than Fight Me.
The best. You understand me? The best. Bermuda, he puts Danielson in a death lock and starts throwing hands with him before he cranks on it. And that forces Danielson to the ropes, which Regal notes, that's a rarity. Usually, Bryan Danielson could just out-wrestle you. You don't need to go to the ropes. But this is the rare occasion where he's forced to get a rope break. And then Danielson gets Yuta in the corner and starts chopping the absolute fuck out of this man. His chops sound like gunshots. I'm like, yo, you're wilding on this man's chest. And it only fires Wheeler Yuta up. He's like, come on, motherfucker, let's do it then. And starts chopping back, hits him with a snap German suplex for a near fall, but then holds it. And he comes, and then Dragon comes back, hits a big Dragon suplex for a two count. Then he drops the elbows, goes for cattle mutilation, but Yuta ducks out, and he drops the elbow and goes for the seatbelt pin for a two count. Ducks out. They go up. Danielson ducks the line, fucking blazes out of the corner with the Busaiku knee. Yuta's down. Danielson grabs his arms, and he's going to kick his head in. And then Yuta looks up and spits in this man's face.
The loogie was still on his face.
Yeah, he hawked the loogie in this man's face. And Danielson's like,
wow.
It's time to die.
He just started stomping this man in his chest.
Yes.
It was gross. And in his neck.
He killed this man.
It was nasty. You motherfucker. Who the fuck do you think? And then commentary is going ham. They're like, the show of defiance. The show that he will not die type of deal. And then they were going crazy over it. And Bryan Danielson just murders this man after this. It was sad.
Yeah, man. LaBelle Lock gets the win. That's it. This match was awesome. I love this shit. It was that tag match that they did, only 2-10, only amplified. Like, they put Yuta over so hard with this, and Danielson's a monster. So great, great, great fucking match. I love this shit. Yeah. And even Regal at the end, he's like, I'm very impressed with this Yuta fellow. He's very good. Wisdom beyond his years. Very tough. I like it.
So watching this got me excited for what can be, because I can see this being like a cross-promotional gang. You feel me? They can have Jay Lethal in there. They can have Wheeler Yuta in there. They can grab somebody from Ring of Honor. You feel me? Yeah. And a couple of guys from Ring of Honor and just make this like elite squad of like, we are fucking amazing wrestlers.
And again, bringing the Pure title into that fold, I feel like makes it even better, because it's like, we are fucking Pure Wrestling. We are the group that's going to make you the best professional wrestler you can be. So, you know, speak truth to power with that. It's good stuff. And now we got a video package for Andrade and Darby covering their whole feud and Andrade's non-comprehension of the concept of friendship.
Shit. This little old kid. Math teacher. Yep. Our old math teacher.
I'm going to show Duval. This little kid tonight. So yeah, Darby's hey, you leave all the money, the suits, the people, you leave all that in the back and you show me who you really are, Andrade. And it's on.
Help me to help you, little kid.
Come on, little kid. And now we got the Undisputed Red Dragon, or as they're christening themselves, the Undisputed Elite.
They're the Paragon, goddammit.
They only ever said that once. And never again. They never even said the word Paragon again.
It was on their lower third the next week, and then they just dropped it.
Never again. It's over. They are the Undisputed Elite. they got their stolen belts. They've covered up the nameplates with tape like they're Sabu or some shit.
Yep. When Sabu won the Taz belt.
Yeah, and he put the fucking tape on it.
Yep. He was like, get this Taz nigga the fuck.
This Sabu shit.
Yep.
So they got a box in the corner. It's labeled party supplies. And Kyle's like, hey, wait, let me get the box. And then he opens it up, and like five balloons fly out, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. And then commentary is like, oh, great, you sprung for five balloons. Motherfuckers is hilarious, bro. They had me crying on commentary today.
Adam Cole grabs the mic. He says, first things first, Hangman Page and Jurassic Express aren't here tonight, which instantly clues me in. Okay, they're here. They're coming. They're going to show up in this segment. I knew. AEW does this too much, to be honest. He's not here. They're He's not never here coming tonight. Back. Oh, he coming.
They did it twice. He coming tonight. Right now. Santana and Ortiz are not here tonight. Right.
You're never going to see Wardlow again.
Right. Three times then.
Yeah, I got to chill out with that, AEW.
In one night. By the way, somebody in the first row with my shirt on, so cool.
Yeah, shout out.
Oh! Who just murdered who?
Box did a fucking cutter onto light tubes, but he landed on the light tubes. Crazy. Shit. Back to the show. Cole is like, this is to the idiots who think we stole these belts. You can't steal something that already belongs to you. And, you know, yeah. Kyle O'Reilly, he's going to cut a promo talking about all these haters. And he's like, actually, I had too much champagne in the back, so I think I got to sit down. And he just fucking sits down in the fetal position and curls up.
Yep.
Like, what the hell? And then Bobby's like, I think what he's trying to say is we're the best damn tag team in the world and we're finally taking our credit.
Can I say something here? When they came out, why did they, it just felt like I was watching NXT again.
This was a very NXT, this was an NXT segment. It was literally an NXT segment.
Yeah. Shouldn't have been talking shit the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And then the thing too is just the way they came out with all the belts.
Yeah.
And then Kyle O'Reilly.
Air guitar and the shit. It's my shit.
Kyle O'Reilly's over here air guitaring, and then I don't know. I like that vibe. It made me feel like I'm somewhere where I'm meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at the graphic that we have on our Facebook group, and like basically all the men in that are now here.
Yeah.
I would have to switch all the men to the other side. All the women are still in WWE, but. Every dude in that picture, minus I think Tommaso. Who else is in that picture? I think it's Tommaso, Matt Riddle, and a few other guys. Like two or three men there are still either WWE or not wrestling, and the rest of them are all AEW now.
Ain't it crazy how the world works?
Mm-hmm.
But So yeah, so as Bobby's saying, you know, we're the best damn unit in the world. Nobody can stop us. Those other guys, they ain't showing up. They ain't coming. Right on cue. Here's Hangman Page. He comes out.
You shouldn't have been talking.
Shouldn't have been talking shit. This man drives out in a Tesla with horns on the hood.
And he damn near fucking stabbed himself with a horn while he was coming to the ring. Mm-hmm. So. Nice. Nice, my brother. You almost died right there. Yeah.
A babyface car, a Tesla. But I don't know, man. Like I said, the owner of that company is a fucking heel. So. Hangman whoops ass. Sends the boys packing.
I'm sorry. I was laughing because he did the Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Like I said, it's a contradiction. Babyface car, heel CEO. He's whooping ass, sends the boys packing. But then Jurassic Express and Christian Cage come out like, we going to whoop your ass too. And, you know, the babyfaces whoop ass. They take their belts back. You can see Luchasaurus at the end like, get this shit the fuck off my belt. And, yeah, solid segment. Further in the feud with all these guys. I imagine we were getting Cole and Page and then Redragon and Jurassic Express.
I liked it because, for fuck's sake, Adam Hangman Page finally looks like a fucking boss.
Badass.
He came in here and said, I'm going to fight everybody, nigga. Who won it? Yeah. And he damn near took everybody out. So
whooping ass. Hangman don't play. Like I said, man, don't. Hangman is not the one. Anytime anybody is ever like, yo, Hangman ain't going what?
Hangman gonna whoop your ass.
Hangman ain't gonna what? That man is ready for the smoke all the time. Thunder Rosa comes out to talk. Maybe? Mm-hmm. No, she talks. No. She talks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we finally get a fucking interview in AEW. No issue or nothing.
Yeah.
She says she is the first Mexican-born women's world champion. But, you know, she doesn't just want to be the face or the pillar here in AEW. She wants to be the face of all of women's wrestling. But every time I make it to the top, every time I try to come out here and lay out my intentions, there's someone that wants to knock me down. But pillars get knocked down and foundations always stand. And I'm going to be the foundation of this company. And Nyla Rose or anybody else that wants to get at me, if you want a shot, you come take it. And there we go. Yeah. Thunder Rosa gets the cut of promo. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It was a good fucking promo.
It was a good promo, too. I don't know why you didn't let her do it last week.
I realized, though, her accent can get in the way a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even me, who's like, you know, I speak Spanish. I was like trying to catch the accent. Like, what she just said?
And then, you know, when she fired, because she
yeah.
It's like I said, she fires up. Her fire is back, yeah. which I was happy yeah. to see. Her fire yeah. is back. So, yeah.
When she fires up, I was like, yeah. yeah. There was parts where I was like, I don't understand shit, but I like your fire, bitch. Yeah.
Like, I was like, yes, a good segment. Thank you. Thank you very yeah. much.
She was hype. She was good. I like it.
Yeah. So we got FTR in the back. Cash is like, you know, those ass boys and everybody, they say that we take ourselves too seriously. And maybe we do. But that's because we love this and this is all we've ever wanted to do. And me and my brother, we're doing it. We're the AAA Tag Team Champions. We're gonna win those Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. And soon after that, we're going to become the first two-time AEW Tag Champions. And Dak says, you know, I love this too much to ever settle for second place. So I'm going to lay down the challenge right here, right now. Young Bucks, FTR versus the Young Bucks, part two. What do you say? Let's see who the best really is.
And that's where they fuck up.
Oh, you think so?
Yes. You want to know why?
Why?
The Young Bucks are not the best.
Who?
They don't have any gold. The best tag team in AEW right now are Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and you can't tell me otherwise.
Technically, that's true. The champions should be the ones with the best.
Until you beat them, to me, those are the best. So you got to beat them. Beating the Young Bucks to me means nothing.
They did say, who is the best tag team of all time? So I guess this is beyond that for them. This is about legacy now.
And like, is not the tag champs.
They wanna beat the... I'm sure because they said, we're going to win the tag titles back. So they're looking at Jurassic Express, but I guess for them, the Bucks are the pressing issue because it's like, they beat us. And if we're going to consider ourselves the fucking GOATs, we got to beat them. Because we've never beaten them. We had one match with them, we didn't beat them.
I'd be more poised and more ready to face Jurassic Express over the Young Bucks. But what I would have said is, I would have made it more of a, they're the thorn in our side. They're the guys who keep us from being the top guys.
But they're more than that. They're way more than that. They're the thing holding back our entire fucking legacy. For FTR, it's our legacy of being the greatest tag team of all time is being impeded by the fucking fact that you are in our way. It's not just about goal. Like, we won tag team titles all over the fucking place. That's what we do. We win belts. We know we can win belts, but it's you. Yeah. We gotta beat you.
To me, still, it's like, dog, that team is Jurassic Express. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know. When it comes to the GOATs, it's FTR and the Young Bucks, I guess. And the Hardys, who are also here. But, you know, I digress.
That's the one where I'm like, yo, those are the fucking GOATs.
Yeah, if you want to talk about the GOATs, it's them. But
that's who you want to fucking... That's the only people that I would have been like, ah, you're right. Them niggas is legends. Yeah. Like, Vince was considering these motherfuckers for their fucking Hall of Fame WWE.
That's because he didn't want Jeff to leave. I don't mean shit.
But you know, they eventually would have been called up regardless.
I mean, they would have. I mean, and they will be. Like, don't get it twisted. The Hardys will go into the WWE Hall of Fame one day. So now,
along with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian,
yeah, they're all going in. And now we got the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament qualifier: the Bunny versus a mystery opponent. We got Jade's baddie section. They show the baddies. And there's some baddies in there. She picked out some baddies. Bad, bro. Shout out to the baddies.
I think one of them shorties was on NXT, though.
Maybe.
So either NXT or one of the WWE segments. But I think some of them shorties was indie wrestlers.
It's possible. Perfect possible. Mm-hmm. But Jade got a good eye for some baddies. So shout out to her.
And invite me next time you're chilling with the baddies.
Yeah, next AEW show I go to, I'm going to sit by the baddies section.
Like I say, it's not that Dolph Ziggler. It should have been me. It's that Justin Timberlake.
It's gonna be me. That's right. And now
you gotta put it out there, B. Yeah.
For the Bunny's opponent in this match, it's Tony time.
Yes, we get to say it again.
Tony Storm is here in AEW.
And hopefully Rhea leaves so I can say, it's not Tony time.
Yeah, that's got to happen, but she there right now. So
I don't think it's going to happen because even her man has showed up in segments. So I'm like, oh, damn, she getting her man into the company?
You never know.
She ain't going to leave.
You never know. Some guy in the front row is fucking marking the fuck out for Tony. He must be subscribed to that OnlyFans.
He screamed.
He's like, yes. Yes!
His face was turning purple, bro.
Fucking Tony Storm! He's going crazy. I was like, damn, bro, I feel you.
Yeah, I feel you too, bro. But that means that the feud returns. It's me versus Juice.
Be back in the fold. The hatred for Juice returns.
I'm going to train again, right? And we're going to make a whole feud over this. It's going to be it's gonna be me versus Juice Robinson.
Yeah, man.
I'm calling you out, bitch.
I'm sick of your shit, Juice.
I'm going to get to training, and I'm going to whoop your ass, son.
Drop you on that stack of dimes.
Yeah, I'm going to drop you on that stack of dimes you like to call a Nick.
I'm happy for Tony. Good for her. She belongs on a big stage because she's got a big star aura.
She got choked up.
Yeah.
She was doing one of these.
She's like, oh, yeah, fuck with me? Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, we fuck with you, man. It's just you were over there. Nobody watches that anymore. We're all over here now. You got to come over here
to realize, yeah, we fuck with you. Yeah, you were just stuck over there.
We're just stuck over there. We don't do that no more over there.
We don't fuck with them.
They were throwing pies in your face. The fuck was that? We don't want to see that shit and then throwing pies in your fucking face.
It's them we don't fuck with. You good.
Yeah, you good. Get your ass over here.
So, Excalibur talks about, you know, her history in Stardom, wrestling people like Mayu Iwatani, Io Shirai, and of course, Kairi Hojo, or as we're calling her now, Kairi, all motherfucking caps.
Yeah.
come back from commercial break off this. They have a strike exchange. Tony wins out with the big headbutt, and then she hits the hip attack, and you know it's Tony Storm, so that's a hip attack. Fisherman suplex follows for a near fall. Bunny comes back, drops it with the DVD. Bunny got a lot of offense in this. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
They gave her a lot. Maybe she too was much, doing,
she,
but a lot.
She was calling the match.
Yeah.
So you can see in certain spots where she would stop Tony and speak into her ear.
Yeah. And they did
so
point
she was
out
the one calling the
Tony.
The spots.
Tony hasn't worked for a while. She has a little bit of ring rust. So,
mm-hmm. Of course she is. And fucking WWE was using her to fucking throw pies in her face.
Oh well, yeah. Bunny sets her up to go down a rabbit hole, but Tony fights out to stump pile driver. Excalibur called it Storm Zero, but unless she's gonna now use that as Storm Zero, that wasn't Storm Zero. I mean, if her opponent was going to get that much offense in, then they probably should have had her, I don't know. Because I feel like they probably should have had Tony do a showcase match and get most of the offense if they were going to bring her in for her first match. But it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, a lot of people are scared that they're going to go the route of Ruby Soho, but I doubt it. I mean, Ruby Soho, for all we know, to be honest, They're from what I heard, they're trying to prime her up first. So they're trying to get her in more. But that kind of shit takes time. So I'm not going to judge the Ruby Soho thing yet. But a lot of people are calling it a thing now, like a Ruby Soho. Oh, they're going to Ruby Soho her. And I'm like, what do we know about what they're going to do with Ruby Soho?
Yeah, we don't know anything about what they're going to do. And I look at guys like Miro, Christian, CM Punk.
Yep.
There's plenty of guys who they first come into the company, they get the, oh, welcome pop. Like, oh my God, you're here now. We're so excited. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of peter off and fall back for a little while. Like all these people that I just mentioned, they all fell back after a while and weren't really doing much. And then when they cycled them back in and they heated them up, look what happened with Miro. Miro got cycled out, then heated the fuck up and became God's favorite champion.
And now he's taking a little break again, and he'll be back, and they'll probably prop him right back up there.
Christian showed up, was having some matches here and there, and then they cooled him off. Then he was in a world title feud with Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time for these people to heat up, especially on this bigger roster where they cycle people in and out. I would give it time before I say, well, look at what they did with Ruby Soho. They're not doing anything with her now. Maybe after a while they'll transition Ruby Soho to something big. Because, again, like I said, that's how it seems to happen in AEW. That seems to be the pattern. When you show up, they'll give you a lot. And then as they cycle things in and out, they'll have you fall back for a bit. But you're not necessarily forgotten. They're just going to bring you back after a while when they've got something more concrete and all these other guys aren't in the way. Because it's a big roster. So.
And is it just me or is Toni Storm in even better shape?
She did look in very good shape. Yeah, she looked like, thinner.
I don't know how she does it.
Leaner, more cut up. Yeah.
She just, man, I'm telling you, a lot of these female wrestlers, I'd be looking at them one day and then the next day they come back all jacked. And I'm like, how the fuck are you doing that?
Well, she had, you know, like what, 3 months time to not take bumps, just work out and, you know, chill out and get yourself right. So, you know, the 90-day non-compete is good for that, if nothing else.
Yep. She literally, I think it ended at 11:59 that night, right before Wednesday. So basically Tuesday night, 11:59.
Yeah, like, oh, so you good now? Pull up.
Literally, like, they literally snatched her up the day after. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got Tony with Tony Schiavone. Because even JR says in this match, we got a lot of Tonys here now.
Tony. Yeah.
but Tony Schiavone, he's with Vicky and Nyla. And Nyla finally is just like, yo, Vicky, I got this.
I like this, though. I'm going to tell you why. Vicky's mic was not working. Well, it was the same mic, but for some weird reason, when she was talking into it, nothing. it literally sounded like she was like this. She sounded like she was this far.
That was Tony Khan. Yo, Vicky, no Vicky this week. Nyla, get in there.
Shut the fuck up, Vicky.
Nyla,
shut
get in
up.
There. Nyla,
Vicky,
get in Vicky. There.
And then Nyla cut a promo, and I was like, Nyla's fucking great. What are you doing?
She cut such a good promo here.
It was an amazing fucking promo. I love this shit. I love the way she ended it. I love everything.
I was like, why do we not just do this? Why do we not just let Nyla talk? She can talk.
Yo, Nyla's hilarious, bro.
Nyla's like, yo, you want to call yourself the foundation? I am the foundation. I'm the cornerstone of this company. I'm day one in this shit. She says, I'm going to cement my legacy, Thunder Rosa, with your blood. And since you got a death wish, I'll be the genie. Abracadabra, bitch.
Bitch.
I was like, yo, that was fire. Why is she not cutting all the promos? No more Vicky. No more. I love you, Vicky, but no more.
Bitch.
Just give Nyla the mic permanently. That's it.
That shit was great.
Nyla owns the word bitch the same way Brody Lee, rest his soul, owned the word fuck.
Yep.
If you ever watch BTE, Brody would drop wonderful F-bombs on that shit. And Nyla, the same way with the word bitch.
Fucking, I'll be the genie. Abracadabra. Bitch.
I was like, oh shit.
You know what she does? She has the Vince bitch.
Yeah. Bitch.
Bitch. And because it's a female saying it, it sounds more fucking gangster. Like,
yeah, she get real guttural and angry with that shit.
Bitch. Yeah, bitch. It comes in, comes from here.
Yeah, that should come from the soul.
From the, from not just the soul, the solar plexus.
The solar plexus. So, yeah, I guess they realized last week we did it wrong. Let's do it right this week. Mm-hmm, and yeah, from now on, let Thunder Rosa talk. And for the love of God, let Nyla Rose talk. It's time for the main event. Andrade El Idolo versus Darby Allin.
Oh, I got to send you this picture.
All right.
So I have this picture where I took a, it's a filter where it gives you a full beard and like tattoos or whatever. Bruh, I swear to you, I look like Fat Drade Saint Cien Almas. I swear to God.
I am the boss.
I swear to God, bro. I'm going to show you the picture. You're going to be like, that's fucking great. El Idolo. On top of that, did you notice something about Andrade's theme song?
What?
So there's a part where it breaks down and the guitar goes. And it's just like the ocean under the moon. And I was like, yo, wait a minute. That's the guitar solo from Smooth.
Fucking Smooth.
And I'm like, Tony, just give him Smooth.
Yeah. Maybe it's too expensive.
It's Rob Thomas and Tiz Santana. They don't give a fuck. Fucking Rob Thomas will be like, yo, somebody wants to fucking pay me for my music in 2020, 2022?
Shit, I mean,
give me.
In fairness, Smooth gets played in like every department store ever. Yep. So he getting paid off that. He still getting paid.
You're right. But still, man, exactly why you should, if they're paying for it. Come on, man. Yeah. Tony Khan, you can do it. Instead of giving us a fucking random song with the fucking solo in it. The solo is there. I swear to God, listen to it and you're going to hear the solo. And once it goes, blah, 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 you're going to wait for the part and you're going to be like, damn, Rob Thomas should come in right here. And it's just so like smooth. The ocean under the moon. And I'm like, yo, that's the solo.
Love to see these guys. Darby comes out with Sting. Sting gives the fist bump and he's like, you got this. 1-on-1. And there you go. Darby skates down the ramp, and Andrade immediately to start the match hits him with a fucking tornillo to the outside.
It wasn't even a match yet. Fuck. The match doesn't start for like, that's why I said this is the only reason why it's not my favorite match, and it's because the match was literally like this big. 95% of this match is just craziness
bell to bell is not that long, but I mean
this
whole shit counted as the match to me.
The forward the pre section and then the post section are what gave this bulk, because the actual match itself was like this big.
Yeah, because I mean, but even that as a whole package of this shit went crazy, because Andrade is such an incredibly versatile wrestler. Like, obviously, he can do all the luchas. He just showed it. Let me do a fucking tornillo. But then, he's such a good base for fucking small dudes.
Yep.
Because he's obviously jacked and shit, but he knows all the lucha shit. He can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he sets up the steps outside, sets him up upright, then brings Darby out of the crowd, and fucking suplex throws him onto the steps, and the steps fucking dent when Darby lands on them.
Cringe.
Commentators are like, the stairs had a little bit of give, but Darby would say not enough. But yeah.
Yeah, he has a death wish, bro. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. So Darby crawls into the ring and then demands, ring the fucking bell. I'm ready to go. So Bryce is like, all right. He rings the bell. And then Andrade just continues to throw this man around into the picture-in-picture. We come out of the pip. Darby fights back. It's a big code red for a near fall. And then Andrade is kicking at him, but Darby fights back. And then these two get up and start slapping the piss out of each other.
Yep.
Like, Darby gets up and is slapping Andrade, and Andrade is like, oh, and he just slaps him back. And then they just start throwing hands at each other. I'm like, oh, shit.
It was beef. This has been a while where, like, he's been the thorn in their side. And every time they come out, it's some bullshit.
Yeah. So Andrade sits Darby up top. goes for a backdrop, but Darby reverses into a fucking crucifix driver for a near fall. That shit looked crazy. Fucking Andrade fights back, takes off his belt, and then Bryce takes it away, like, get that the fuck. And then while Bryce is removing the belt, Darby takes off his belt and then trips Andrade with it. That shit was good.
That shit was funny. Hey, and it's legal, because if you ever watch anything karate, the gi is part of your uniform, which means it's fair game.
Part of the uniform, I guess so.
If he never took off the belt to begin with, he wouldn't have been able to use it as a weapon. So,
yeah.
Andrade, you fucked up.
You fool. Yeah. But he puts on the Fujiwara, this Darby. Jose runs down, but then Sting runs right after him like, I think
Yo, he beelines not. For Jose and fucking crushes him.
Like, Jesus. You see Jose, like, oh no, Jose, oh shit, Sting. Sting was Jose. Not having it.
Fucking, Jim Ross is so old making Jose, Jose B jokes. That's elementary school, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I heard that one in a long time.
Yeah, you remember that was back in the day when we was little kids. Yeah. Oh, we got Jose and Jose B. Yeah. Ah,
blah, 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 blah. God damn it.
That was the shit the teachers used to say to fuck around.
Yeah. So Butcher and Blade run in after him to take Sting out. But then Darby dives off the top, takes them all out, goes back in the ring, but in the ring Andrade is ready. Drops Darby with El Idolo, gets the 1, 2, and 3. Fucking crazy match this was.
Darby took man.
The fucking craziest bumps. Andrade threw him around like a fucking toy. It was madness.
Andrade was great, man.
He's
it's probably the best I've seen him in AEW.
He's so good. Like, incredibly good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Darby, man. Darby be bringing out the best in people, to be honest. Darby's that guy. But post-match, the attack continues. But the Hardys, they come out, they make the save, they get the big pop and send the heels off. And then poor Mark Quinn has to suffer a modern-day Jeff Hardy Swanton bomb. Because fuck,
wait,
man.
Hold on. Before that, when they're coming down and they're attacking Private Party, there was a part where Mark Quinn was supposed to land a lot further than he did.
Yeah.
And Jeff Hardy is running, and he's like, he looks back, and he's like, I swear, if you look at his mouth, he says, motherfucker. And then he grabs him like, nigga, you're supposed to land here. Supposed to roll down a bit. Come on, man.
Yeah, you're supposed to roll down the ramp. He just stopped.
He just stopped right there, and he's like, so he runs back up and grabs him.
So... Yeah, they get him in the ring.
Like you said, that nasty ass, because now Jeff lands on you. Before, he used to land like back on like basically the side of your arm and your hip.
Yeah.
But now he lands flush on your ass.
And
that's a lot of weight. I mean, with me, I'd probably be okay because I'm a big, big dude.
Yeah.
But Mark Quinn ain't fat, bro. He's chiseled and slim. So, you know. Jeff Hardy landing on you going to hurt. Yeah.
And I think Jeff and even Matt said, like, this way is safer for him. Because, you know, he's taking a lot of damage doing that Swanton over the years. But, like, it may be safer for him. And, I mean, it's probably not too horrible for the guy taking it. But it definitely sucks for the guy taking it.
Because, you know the deal. You go like this when you take the...
Yeah. You can protect yourself and, you know, not take too much damage. But, like... It still sucks.
Yeah, man. Like, fucking a grown-ass man landing on you, bro.
You're going to feel it, regardless. Yeah.
And here in AEW, we realize Jeff Hardy is like 6-something.
Yeah, so. Jeff Hardy's not a small dude.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure Mark Quinn was in the back just chilling for a moment, like, yeah, give me a moment. Gotta. So, man, rough stuff, but good end to the show and a fucking really good show. Great show. Most of the good stuff of last week and much less of the bad of last week.
I wouldn't say this. I didn't think it was like, oh my God, this is such a great show. It was to me like, this is a well-balanced show. The problem with last week's show was that there was no balance to it. It was like the whole beginning of the show was amazing. The entire end was just off. So it's like, here at least we were like, okay, everything kind of like went well. This was kind of good. I couldn't hate on any segment, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in general, like, more of the highs and then much less of the lows. So, like, even if it didn't reach, like, quite the heights as another show may have, it didn't have those fucking lows. So, it balances out a lot better. But I will say, like we talked about earlier, yeah, I got to chill out, AEW, with "You're never going to see this guy again." Only for him to immediately show up.
Yep. Because then it's not... At that point, then we're just going to get used to it. And then every time you say, "You're never going to see this guy again," I'm like, in five, here he comes. Four. Yeah. Pretty so, much, yeah, man.
Chill out. Yeah. Chill out with that. a little too much of that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, good show. I had fun. Really good in-ring. Like, in-ring, I think that's probably where this show shined the most. Yep. In-ring, because fucking Lethal and Mox, like I said, any other week, Lethal and Mox is probably the best match you'll see all week.
Yep.
But, you know, on this show, still, like, one of the best matches you're going to see all week. But on top of that, now you got Wheeler Yuta and Bryan Danielson and Darby and Andrade. All just really good stuff.
And FTR and the Ass Boys.
I mean, even the other two matches, like Punk and Max Caster. Punk, that was a good little match. Wasn't a bad match at all. Ass Boys versus FTR was also a good match.
Yeah.
Really good heel-face dynamic going on there, which you wouldn't expect because FTR playing baby faces. What the hell? But that shit worked.
Yeah, like I said, at the end of the fucking at the end of the whole situation, the crowd was, they were over with the crowd. That's it. Yeah. Like, the crowd was like, we like babyface FTR. Gimme.
And especially,
you know what it is too? They got that South vibe, you know what I'm saying? And being that they've been in the South lately, they're getting over.
Yeah, so. They paced this out well. This is a fun show. And Rampage, I'm actually excited for, because they got a lot of good shit on Rampage. Fucking Hobbs and Keith Lee alone has already got me there. So I'm like, anything else is just a bonus at this point.
Keith Lee!
But yeah, it's going to be fun.
Ted, with all that being said, I would like you to, let them know where else to find us.
But indeed, you already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania, Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers and podcasters and everybody we associate with post all our goings on and all that is going down. As far as the audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. As for the visuals, twitch.tv/RambleMania Show, YouTube search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you. And of course, the video version of the podcast is also available on Spotify as well. So if you want to listen or you want to watch, you can do both.
And Spotify lets us get away with a little thing. So
So, show some love. And as for me personally, follow me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And follow me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. Cool. You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX8I great. That is at SIIXX. You're already. And you can find us on TikTok, where we post all the funny things that we really, really like on these shows. And, this week it was the BCC, which, to be honest, got a lot of love. It got a lot of love. So thank you guys, man. That shit that was pretty funny. I had a good time, with our guest / family member, Kenneth Stones, last week. That shit was crazy. And, go check that out. Go check out the episode that we just made, too. So, hey, and y'all, by the time this comes out, y'all already gonna have seen us go crazy over there at the Raw Zone doing WrestleMania Night 1. And then you're gonna go crazy watching us with just us, and there we might have some guests. So... Yeah. On Sunday, night 2, be on there.
It's WrestleMania! Yeah,
yep. It goes. All that WrestleMania jazz. So hopefully you guys enjoy all our offerings for WrestleMania and get out there, Check out Welcome to the Raw Zone. Check out your podcast. and check out the Dirty Heels. So, it's all love, man. With all that being said, we're going to leave our BCLians, our Banter Club loyalists, out there with a little something we like to call a Too Sweet.
Too Sweet.
And a good fight.
And a good night.
Blacker, 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 blacker. Cause you're so smooth.
So smooth.